Judy.
Batya.
Good evening, Batya.
Hello. Can you bring this one up on your phone, the commentary? Because if not, I can try to send it to you.
The handouts, I usually can't.
You can't? All right, let me see. Mm-hmm. Two of the verses didn't print in Hebrew, I don't know, or the Aramaic, rather. Let's see if I can find it. Well, we know who that is. Okay, now I have to go to my email to send it to you.
Okay.
Okay, it's going to be Pasuk 13 and 15 that didn't copy.
Huh?
Pasuk 13, verse 13 and 15 didn't copy. Just symbols came on, so I just left that part blank.
Okay.
Other than that, okay.
Okay.
It'll come to you in just a minute, I think. Oh, you know what? I did it in my Hebrew processor, so I have to change it to a PDF. So it's going to take me longer.
No, that's okay.
Right, just a minute.
Even if you don't do it till after class, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Judy, is that you?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing pretty good. I muted it because the puppies were barking.
Yeah, we heard them. We said, we know who that is.
Yeah, the beasties are restless.
Yeah, they give you away every time, don't they?
I'm telling you, I couldn't sneak up on nobody. Is he on yet?
No. I don't think so. I think it's just us three, I think.
Okay, let me think of where I have to save this. Let's see. I need to save it to the desktop.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Goodbye. Revealed Wisdom page, when you open that revealed wisdom link and scroll down to the matrix, the first the column to the rightmost column, the first row has a link to a Zohar list of Parashiyot. And if you scroll down through the third book to Vayikra, to Leviticus, and then to the Parasha of Kedushim, we're going to be reading from section 3, the handout for section 3. We're starting with verse 10. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh adenu k'nenei aleinu ma'aseh adenu k'nenehu. Reviyose hawa azil be'orcha paja be'ya. Revichia amar le'ya haideu k'mucha havraya. Dikti be'eli v'lachem nishpati levet eli im yitkaper awon be'at ali b'zevach u'mincha ad olam b'zevach u'mincha eino mitkaper Aval mitkaper hu b'divrei Torah amai begin b'divrei Torah Salkin al kol karbanin b'alma kema de'ukbuha B'iktiv zot ha-Torah La ola lemincha, velachatat, velasham, velamiluim, shakil lo raita, lekabel kol karbani, bealma al haki, huvadai dekolman. Vishtadal beoraita aagid itgazar aleya omsha milela nicha leya mikol karbanin ve'ilawan behahu omsha itkara. I forgot to ask if there were any questions before I started. And so feel free to ask questions at any time. Also, for those of you who are reading along with me, please do so. This is not about me reading. The only reason that I read is just as a practice, most of the students that I have do not read Hebrew or Hebrew letters. But if you do, I would appreciate you joining us. And it's this is really the meaning of the diversity of creation. I know it's not normally done in synagogues and in other locations, but when we pray, when we sing, and singing is a higher form of speech, singing is really the way all prayers, all psalms, all aspects of our connection to the Creator should be done in voice, in singing. When we sing, and we sing in different tunes because we're in different places, we're different souls, and that unity of singing the same words without harmony is really the true unity of creation. Because as the Midrash, I forget the name of it right now, but it'll come to me. The Perek Shirah the songs that all the animals sing is written in a very lovely poetic form and as a midrash. I highly recommend that you read those and become aware of those because there's deep meaning in that book. But what it's essentially saying is that the spider, the snake, the lamb, the horse, the mule, the cloud, the sun, are all singing praises to Hashem, and many more animals, of course. They're all singing praises to Hashem. And they're not even singing the same verses at the same moment. And yet, this is the praise, this is Hashem's joy in the diversity of his creation. So please feel free to sing, and sing whatever way you feel at that moment. Rabbi Yossi was going on his way when Rabbi Shia met him. He said to him, "What the scholars established about that which is written concerning Eli, or Eli." "And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of the house of Eli shall not be purged with sacrifice or offerings forever." Meaning that it is not purged with sacrifice or offering, but atonement comes through the words of Torah. Why? It is because words of Torah are superior to all sacrifices, as has been accepted. It is written, this is the Torah of the burnt offering, of the meal offering, and of the sin offering, and of the guilt offering. This indicates that the Torah is equal to all sacrifices in the world. He replied, "This is surely so. For even if a penalty of heaven is decreed against he who toils in Torah, the penalty is canceled, because the study of the Torah is better for him than all sacrifices and all offerings." My commentary. Let us truly realize what is being said in this pasuk. Pasuk is a word for verse. The study of Torah cleanses decrees of harsh judgment, more so than even the bringing of sacrifices, when the temple exists. The Zohar was written or taught by Rabbi Shimon while the temple existed prior to its destruction. Does it mean that the negative actions that one does become cleansed by the Torah study that one does? The answer is no. There is still the judgment of reincarnation. There is a purification that takes place through Torah study, but it does not truly remove the negative actions that one has done, which are still hanging around as part of the law of the boomerang. Torah study purifies. It doesn't remove. The purification is a process of sweetening judgment, of injecting mercy into harsh judgment. To understand what this discussion of Eli's family is about, in the Talmud there's a discussion of this decree that's against the house of Eli. The discussion looks at the actions of two of the descendants and their length of life, which were relatively short, as the decree promises. Eli was the high priest, give you some background. Eli was the high priest, and he had two sons, and the Torah attests that his sons did something negative to the people that were bringing sacrifices. The Midrash and the Talmud brings different explanations of what that is, We don't need to know what they did, just that they did something incorrectly. There was a decree issued by Hashem to the family of Eli, the descendants of Eli. And this is also hard to understand, but let's understand the decree first, and then we'll talk more about it. The decree said that the family of Eli, the descendants of Eli's family, would not live long. They would all be short-lived. They would die young, God forbid. That is the decree on Eli's family.
Shoshana Beck.
Welcome. In the Talmud, as I said, there's this decree against the house of Eli. The Talmud looks at the actions of two of the descendants and their length of life, which were relatively short, as the decree promises. Yet one lived significantly longer due to his Torah study, in addition to the charity and the tithing that he did, while the other gave a significant tithing, significant charity, but he did not study Torah as well. And the Torah study of the one added years to his life, while the non-Torah study, by not studying the Torah, that particular descendant of Eli lived a shorter life. I'm getting static on the line, so I'm going to change the controls. If you want to ask a question, you'll need to press *6. And then I should be able to hear you. You can ask your question. So please feel free to ask questions at any time. So I'd asked the question earlier, or I alluded to it, I hinted at it. This decree against the descendants of Eli seemed to be very troublesome, because it implies that someone is going to have the effect from someone else's negative actions. The sons of Eli did something wrong. They were priests. Eli was the high priest. Eli did not discipline his children when they were doing these wrong actions. So the whole family of Eli had a decree issued against it that they would all die young. How do we understand that the descendants of Eli are having the effect of the negative actions of their grandparents and their great grandparents and their great great grandparents? Because this is the family of Eli, all descendants throughout time. They will marry young, they will have children, but they will not live long. They all died in the Talmudic times. They were all dying in their early 40s. Except for these few people who the Talmud indicates had studied Torah, and they lived approximately 20 years longer, into their 60s. Which even in Talmudic times, was not, for a Torah scholar, was a young age. Without reincarnation, you cannot understand this idea, because those children, those descendants of Eli, were not innocent. They were the souls that were participating in those negative actions. And just as the Torah promises in the Esther Defrotes that the sins of the parent will be visited on the children up to 3 or 4 generations, we will understand that this whole idea, Eli's children did a wrong action, And the consequences of that would have been so horrendous on a single lifetime that it would have been unbearable to cleanse what they did wrong in one lifetime. So it was decreed. They would have this sin, they would have this aspect throughout their generations, the three incarnations that they would receive. This was God's mercy that people don't understand how it implements, because they don't see, we don't see the full picture. Pasuk 11. V'tachatzi la'itake barnash le'almin ela b'milin Dioraita beginai, kach milin dioraita, la mekabelin tuma, begindihi, excuse me, kaima, detaka leilein, misave viasukta, Yoraita ishtakach, diktiv refut, tehi lesharecha, v'shiku le'atzmotecha, v'dach yoyuta, ishtakach be'oraita, diktiv yira. Hashem Torah omedet alead my omdim omdit omedet laad dekaima tadira behahudik yuta wilaita de mineya lealmin. Come and see. Man becomes pure solely through words of Torah. For this reason, words of Torah never receive defilement, since the function of the Torah is to purify the unclean. There is healing in the Torah, as it is written. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. There is purity in the Torah, as it is written. The fear to Hashem is clean, enduring forever. What is meant by enduring forever? It means that it remains constantly in a state of purity, which is never removed from it. One thing I want to say before I read my commentary or enhance my commentary. You heard me struggle with the pronunciation of one of the words. That's an indication that that word, the essence of that word, is an issue of my correction, of my tikkun. If I don't correct it, if I don't correct the pronunciation, then the correction remains in effect. If I make the effort to correct it and do not correct it, God injects mercy into the judgment, and it becomes sweeter, it becomes easier. If I correct it completely, and I actually pronounce it properly, then I am literally completing the correction of that aspect of my tikkun. This applies to me who's reading it, and it applies to you who's hearing it. How do you know that you did I mispronounce it? If you know I mispronounced it, let me know. It's important. It's not, there's no coincidence in these things. These things are very real. I recognize that I had mispronounced it, but I had a struggle. It was a real effort to pronounce that word properly as I understand those sounds of the letters and vowels. We may not know in our generation the proper sounds and the proper sounds of the vowels or the proper sounds of the letters. It doesn't matter that we don't know. It doesn't matter that if someone is doing it incorrectly, as long as you're making your best effort. There will come a time when you will find out what the correct pronunciation is. And at that time, you'll be able to correct all of your previous incorrect incarnations where you mispronounced words. The pasuk we just read leads to a question about the red heifer and the removal of impurity, the removal of death. Why do we need the ashes of the red heifer to remove the impurity of death? Why can we not use the words of Torah? Why are they not sufficient unto themselves? And the answer is the consciousness of people. People do not expect that words alone will bring purity, will remove impurity. Is purity the absence of impurity, or is it a consciousness of itself? That's a question that we are not going to answer tonight, but it's something that you need to be thinking about. Just as words alone would not bring the water from the rock in the generation of the desert, the words of people reading Torah, people do not expect that to be sufficient to remove death. It's all consciousness, people. We have to change our consciousness. Have we changed? If we have, we haven't changed enough. It's time to start making greater changes. And this applies in the news from today. I'm going to bring, and I normally don't bring the current news events into our discussions, but I'm going to bring two items into the discussions. Because we've been talking about it all year, ever since Rosh Hashanah, and the year 5774 came into the theme. We've been talking about saying the Samuel second verse that will bring peace. And today there was an announcement that due to the unification of Hamas with Al-Fatah, the Israeli government is calling off the peace talks. Now, we can perceive that as a problem, as a failure, God forbid, of the peace talks. Or we can perceive that as a test to know that the peace is still going to happen this year. We do need to change more. Had we changed more earlier, it would have happened in this month. And it still may happen in this month. I would not put that off. Because it's simply a test for you to know with certainty that peace in the Middle East can happen this year. Start with the can happen. Eventually, you will know that it will happen. Eventually, you'll realize that you don't have to see it with your physical senses in order for things to manifest. Eventually, you'll learn that just the study of the red heifer, the study of those 22 verses, I believe, it's either 20 or 22 verses, that describes the red heifer that removes the impurity of death. It's possible. You just have to decide that it's possible. And once you decide it's possible, then you can grow that possibility into certainty through the process of purification. through the process of Torah study. Verse 12. Amar le yirat Hashem kitiv la Torah al haki hu vaday deha oraita Mesidra digvura tajya al mehatam nafka mehaka nafka diti reshit hochma yirat Hashem ukti yirat Hashem tehora. He said to him, behold, it says the fear of Hashem, not the Torah. He replied, this is surely so, that it refers to the Torah, as Torah comes from the state of Givurah, and hence is called fear of Hashem. He said to him, you learned that idea from there, from the verses? The fear of Hashem is the beginning of wisdom? So we see that wisdom is called fear, and it is written, the fear of Hashem is pure. So we see the purity is within the wisdom, namely in the Torah. I'm adding, this pasuk is quite clear on its surface. The Torah and the words fear of Hashem are the same thing. They both refer to wisdom. To the Sefirah of wisdom. Pasuk 13. V'yoraita kedusha itkere diktim ki kadoshani Hashem v'daoraita Dehi Shema Kadisha Ila Aviad Mandish Tadal Baitake Ulvatar Ich Kadash Diktiv Kedoshim Tihiu Kedoshim Heyu Lakiti velatiyu tihiyu vadai al haki hu mikra kitiv tiyu kidoshim heyu Lakiti velatiyu tihiyu vadai al haki Hu mikra kiti viatem tihiyu li mam lechet Kohanim v'gomer kadosh ukti v'lech advarim v'gomer. The Torah is called holiness, as it is written, for I, Hashem, your Elohim, am holy. And such is the Torah, which is the supernal holy name. Therefore, one who toils in it becomes pure, and afterwards he becomes holy. As it is written, you shall be holy. It does not say be holy, but it is written, you shall be. Assuredly, you shall, meaning that this is a promise that through Torah you shall be holy. He replied, this is certainly correct. As it is written, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Followed by, these are the words. I point out before I read my commentary, the phrase supernal holy name, referring to the Torah, is discussing the idea that one of the names of God is all of the letters of the Torah. that's something that takes a significant amount of contemplation. And it's something that we will need to speak about when we have our classes in the Hebrew letters on Mondays at 5:30 Pacific time. And we're approaching that because there's a machloket for this, an argument for the sake of heaven, because this, the Torah, the tradition, the Talmud teaches that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. And the computers tell us there's only 304,000 plus letters in the Torah. And that 304,000 isn't the Torah, meaning the five books of Moses, it's all of the Tanakh. And this argument, this machloket, this idea of proof is something that takes a lot of discussion. And we will be doing that over the next couple of weeks in our Hebrew classes, the Hebrew letter classes. Continuing to read the commentary, we see from the pasuk that it will take Hashem reaching down and causing the change to become holy. As we have defined holiness, as we understand holiness. Now realize that this is the meaning of the coming of Mashiach. Through Torah study only can we be purified to the level that we may warrant Mashiach. When we realize that the Gemara has been studied over and over and over and over again, lifetime after lifetime, this is an aside from what I wrote, but when I first started to study Kabbalah 20 plus years ago, and I had a friend who was coming with me starting our studies together, and we were making changes in our life. We started to eat kosher food. We started to pray many times a day with different aspects of changes within us. They were outward changes, physical manifestations, but they were representative of the inner changes, the purifications that were taking place within each of us. So we met for coffee at a kosher restaurant, and there was a rabbi from out of town who was visiting the restaurant. And he asked us why we were studying Zohar and not Gemara. And he referred to what at that time was well-known belief system that you had to be very knowledgeable to study the Zohar. It's not true, as we have proven over and over in our generation. But that was the belief system. So my friend's response was absolutely priceless. He looked at the rabbi right in the eye. He said, "Rabbi, you're absolutely right. We need to study the Gemara first. And we have done so for the last 300 lifetimes." At which point, the rabbi threw up his hands and walked out. When we realize that the Gemara has been studied for 2,000 years, over and over, constantly, all year long, all parts of the world, it's been studied, and still the Mashiach has not manifested. There hasn't been sufficient purification. We can begin to realize that only through Zohar study will that purification take place. Torah study, Zohar study, they're not the same thing. Gemara study, Zohar study is not the same thing. Rabbi Ashlag in his writings tells us that an hour of Gemara study during the week is one level of energy, one level of purification. That same hour of Zohar study during the week is equivalent to 1,000 hours of Gemara study. He says, Rabbi Ashlag, in his writings, that the Gemara study on Shabbat is equivalent to a year's study of Gemara during the week. And that hour of Zohar study on Shabbat is equivalent to a year's study of Zohar during the week. Are you getting the idea of how powerful Zohar study truly is? I'm continuing to read. This is because only through the study of the inner essence of Torah can we reach the level of purity that is required to bring Mashiach. Mashiach is not going to come without your effort. That's what people don't understand. Yes, we can wait for it to come with harsh judgment in the year 6000, or we can bring it early through our own actions of purification. And how do you purify? You purify through Zohar study. And the most effective form of Torah study is study of Zohar. This is especially true as more and more people do reach their corrections. As people leave the world, and having achieved their tikkun, their correction, there is a greater state of spiritual darkness. And in the illusion, so it appears darker. That's just because the light that was revealed by the people who studied Zohar or the people who achieved their tikkun, that spiritual light is hidden away. It's being studied by those people in the Garden of Eden. In our world, it appears darker in the illusion because more and more people who've completed their tikkun have left. And those of us who are left, still in the physical world, we have our work to do. And that's why the Zohar is being revealed in our generation. Because we need the power of that multiplier effect for the purification. Verse 14. Tana Kedusha Dioraita Kedusha Bislikat Alkol Kedushin Ukdusha Dechachmata Ila Satima Salka Altola Amarleya Lavoraita Vila Hachmata Vila Hachmata Vila Oraita Wipola Behadargahu Wipola Hadela oraita ma ila ishtakahat uva kaima uva ibnata u shar shaha mikol mesitrin. We learn that the holiness of the Torah is a sanctity that surpasses all types of holiness. And the sanctity of the hidden supernal wisdom exceeds all others. He said, Torah does not exist without wisdom, and wisdom does not exist without Torah. All is on one level. All is one. There is Torah in supernal wisdom, and it is there through it, and in it, roots are planted on all sides. My commentary. This pasuk needs to be contemplated. Its meaning in English is not truly accurate, or meaningful, or easily understood. Sanctification represents purification. The Torah is holy only when one lives Torah, and by living Torah, one elevates and transforms the desire to receive to the desire to receive in order to share. Contemplate this well. You'll notice I didn't say the desire to receive for oneself alone to the desire to receive in order to share. Contemplate this well. Pasuk 15. Ad dehawo azle ashkahu ad barnash bilkin Dikustarakiv al susya ashmit yudo lehad anpa Dilana amarabiyose Hai hu diktiv vetit kadishtem Vehitem kidoshim Adam Mekadesh Atzmo Milmata Bekadshin Oto Milmala Ha'idiktiv Kidoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem. As they were going, they met a person riding on a horse at a place where the town trash and refuse is kept. As he departed there, he put out his hand to a branch of the tree to clean his hands, even though there was no reason to fear that he had touched the filth as he rode on a horse. Nonetheless, he was strict with himself about cleansing his hands, since he found himself in a dirty environment. Rabbi Yossi said, "This is what is written. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy. Man purifies himself below, and he is purified on high." This is the essence of the verse. You shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your Elohim, am holy. My commentary. Do you think that there is an automatic process when one purifies oneself below? They are automatically raised to a level of holiness by the upper worlds, reaching down and elevating and transforming that person who has purified themselves? Or is there a review in a heavenly academy that follows this statement consistently? What do you think is the system? Can you become holy automatically? You purified yourself. You've washed your hands. And let's say that the washing of the hands represents the spiritual purification that took place within you. Does that mean you will become holy? Just as people prepared themselves to be prophets in the age of prophecy, during the time of the first temple, we had prophets, and they prepared to be prophets. The Talmud says there were over 1 million people preparing to be a prophet, Jewish and non-Jewish, or I should say halakhically Jewish and halakhically non-Jewish. They prepared to be a prophet. But who got chosen to be a prophet? On one level, all of them were chosen to be a prophet. But not a level of prophet that was sufficient in quality to be included in the Tanakh. Because the verses in the Tanakh speak to every soul in every generation. Those prophecies were Hashem speaking to the prophet, telling him or her to tell the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, the children of Israel. But there were other prophets. God didn't speak to them on that level. But they could ask a question that maybe one of their friends, neighbors, customers brought to them about his life. And they would answer using their Ruach HaKodesh, using their connection to the Creator. We don't call that prophecy. People prepared to be prophets. People learned how to have connection with the Creator. And then there is another level where the heavens reach down, where Hashem reaches down and chooses and elevates and brings that person to the right column of the Tree of Life. Pasuk 16. Tane ribi abba parshita dakalala dioraita hi vechotama dekushta dekushpanka hi veparshita dait chadashu razin ilahin dioraita fa'asan Amiran Deguzirin Violashin Ubi Kuchikudin Ilain Dekad Matan Tahavraya Viparshita Dahawo Hadan. Rabbi Abba taught that this portion of Kiddushim comprises the entire Torah and is sealed with the ring of truth. In this portion, there are new supernal secrets of Torah in the Esser Dibrot and decrees and penalties and heavenly mitzvot. When the friends reached this chapter, they were overjoyed. The friends is a code word in the Zohar for those people who were quoted and wrote the Talmud. Hanoch Ari is adding, this verse stands on its own, yet it does not clearly tell us anything. It needs to be contemplated. You need to understand what is being said by Rabbi Abba, that Kiddushim, the parasha of Kiddushim, comprises the Holy Torah. The goal is to be holy. Or is the goal to become close to God? God says, you shall be holy because I am holy. God is saying, as Michael Berg teaches, Rabbi Michael Berg of the Kabbalah Center, he teaches, Hashem is holy, we shall be holy, we shall be God. Pasuk 17. Amar Rabbi Abba, Memtet Parshata, Diarayot Uparshata. Dikidosha Kidoshim Tihiyu Simukin Dalida Elahaki Tana Kolman Deistamar Meilain Eryan Bikdusha Itave Badai Bikhafshin. Eat, Isha Bimareya Biha Ataru Tavraya. Rabbi Abba said, what is the reason that the portion about incest and the portion about Kiddushim are adjacent? And he answers, we learn that he who keeps away from incest is definitely produced in holiness, since his parents sanctified themselves at the time of intercourse. And this is most certainly so if he also sanctifies himself with the sanctity of his master. Through working on himself, this was commented upon by the friends. My commentary. If one is conceived and born through parents who purify themselves with the regulations of family purity, and one also purifies oneself through self-improvement and self-analysis, then one can merit being raised through the concept of Kiddushim, or holiness. If one comes through parents who purify themselves with the regulations of family purity, but the person chooses not to improve himself, then he cannot reach that level of Kiddushim, of holiness. What about the person whose parents did not bring him through the regulations of family purity? Can he become holy? This indicates he can, yet it becomes easier and more certain if he does his own spiritual work also. To explain to you the term incest, as used in the Zohar in this translation, is talking about the sexual no-nos that are written about in chapter 18 of the Parasha of Achrei Mot and read on Yom Kippur, and also if they're said again in the Parasha of Kiddushim in chapter 20. These sexual no-nos are referred to as an English translation of a Hebrew word, and it's translated as incest. It's really describing the relationships of the Sephirot. It's also, some people perceive it dealing with some of the regulations of family purity. Some of those halachot come from the review, the permutations, the words and the letters within those verses. Pasuk 18. Eim atai o natan dekol alit kadash barnash tachatzi man devae leit kacha biruta demareya la lishamesh ela pipalgut leil yave elaf o bepalgut leil ya beha beha hi shata kucha barichu ishtakach Beginta de Eden Ukdusha Ila'a Itar Ukdain Shata Hileit Kadsha Hailishar Benena Shatalmide Hachamim Diadin Orcho Dioraita The palgut lelia sha'ata dilhon lemekam lemile bioraita leizdavga baki la shabecha lishma kadisha When is the time for all men to consecrate the marital relationships? Come and see. He who wishes to consecrate himself with the grace of his master should mate only from midnight on, or at midnight, as at that hour the Holy One, blessed be He, Zerampin, is in the Garden of Eden, denoting Malchut, and the supernal sanctity is awakened. That is the moment to be consecrated. This is fine for all other people. Torah scholars familiar with the ways of Torah know that midnight is the hour to rise and toil in the Torah. Join with the congregation of Israel, denoting Malchut, and praising the Holy Name, denoting Malchut, and the Holy King, denoting Zerampin. My commentary. There's much to learn from this verse. A Torah scholar will only have relations with his wife on the Friday night at midnight, during the times that she is not nidah, impure. Other people are recommended to have relations after midnight on any day, since this is when the energy of Chesed comes into the universe. Having relations earlier in the evening is a time of judgment, and children brought at that time are imbued with a more difficult tikkun. What about relations during the daylight hours? If it is afternoon, it is a period of judgment. If it is during the early morning hours, it is a period of chesed. Yet it is drawing of a soul that is attached to something revealed that should be concealed. This confusion will attach itself to the child that is conceived. As parents, the choice is yours. The choice is his, as he chooses his parents. One other thought that I wanted to bring out, and that's the consciousness of the parents determines the soul that is drawn. The more in unity the parents are, the more they have a desire for a high soul, the more the child that they bring to this world will be a high soul. If someone was not aware of the flaws of family purity when they've had children, and their children are now in their 20s, they're no longer even teenagers, and they've discovered the flaws of family purity, and they have relations based on that, with the consciousness to bring high souls to the world, even if it's past her time of childbearing, that consciousness will impact other people and bring higher souls to the world. Even if you have children and were not following the laws of family purity, the context and concept of teshuvah will impact your children even as they live. If you didn't go to the mikvah, you had relations with your husband and you drew a child. Going to the mikvah will elevate the soul of your child. Just as that child's Torah study can and will elevate you after, Chas v'Shalom, you leave this world. Consciousness is everything. Pasuk 19. Belel Yah de Shabbata, Diruta de Kola, Ishtakach Zivuga, Bilhon Behai Shata, Beapata Diuta, De Kucha Barifu, Viki Kama de Itmar Dictim, Bani Matem Lashem. Elohechem v'hilein ikrun, gadishin diktiv, kedoshim. Tiyu ki kadosh, ani Hashem, uktiv v'chaya ke'etz shatul. Al palgei mayim asher, kiryo yiten. Vito v'gomer. Shabbat Eve, when there is universal goodwill, is the moment for mating for Torah scholars. In order to find the grace of the Holy One, blessed be He, and the congregation of Israel, denoting both Zeron, Din, and Malchut, as we learn from the verse, you are the children of Hashem, your Elohim. They are called holy. As it is written, you shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your Elohim, am holy. And it is written, and he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Take a look at the commentary in the above verse 18. Verse 20. Kiddushim tiyu ribi abba, patach umi ke'amcha, ki Yisrael goy echad, bi'aretz tachatzei, bekol amin di alma la itre'e, behu kucha barifu, bar bi'Yisrael bilchodaihu, We are alone, Alma. Yechida the Alma, the Kara alone, Goyachad. Kishmea the Atar, Lone the Kama, Hitrin the Kama. Ikudin Leit Atra. Tefillin, Dereisha Utefillin, Didroa Leit Atra, Behu Barnash, Kegavna Dilela Ulishtacha, Had Shalim Bekola. You shall be holy, Rabbi Abba. Commenced. And what one nation in the earth is like your people, like Israel? Come and see, the Holy One, blessed be He, did not want any of the nations of the world except Israel alone. He made them a singular nation in the world. He called them one nation, like His name. He crowned them with numerous adornments, numerous precepts to be adorned. And he gave them the head of and hand tefillin to adorn them, just as is above. The head tefillin are the brains, the mochin of Zeron Pin, and the hand tefillin are the mochin, the brains of Malchut. This was so that there would be a consistent perfection in everything, both above and below. My commentary. How can we understand this verse and Israel's relation to the other nations? On the Remes and the Drash and the Sod levels, it is easy to reconcile. The other nations represent values and character personality traits that need to be transformed within each person. Yet we are also taught that each Pasuk will relate to the Peshat level also. On the Peshat level, we learn that each person from the other nation will grow to a higher level of Israel by receiving the additional soul, just as each soul of Israel received this at Mount Sinai. First, the person will need to grow and purify themselves so that they will merit that reception. This is actually one of the main purposes of the exile, to place near the people of the other nations a Jewish soul who will attach itself to the souls of the other nations and assist those souls to purify themselves. This can never come about through coercion, but only through free choice. Verse 21. Uvahi sha'ata de'itatar Behu barnash be'it kadash Behu itaved shalim Ve'ikre echad De'echad la'ikre Elatad yihu shalim uman Tefagim la'ikre echad V'ad kucha baritu, ikre echad bishlimu, v'kola bishlimu, v'avahan bishlimu, v'kineset Yisrael, v'gimulka, Yisrael v'tata, ikru nechad dekad, barnashanach, Tefillin, Beitchapen, Bekisuya, Damitva, Kedemitatar, Beitrin, Kadishin, Kegavna, De'elavikre, Echad. At that time, when man adorns himself with them and sanctifies himself with them, meaning the tefillin, he becomes complete and is called one, because he is not called one until he is perfect. One who is defective is not called one. The Holy One, blessed be he, is therefore called one in his total perfection, the perfection of the patriarchs, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, and the perfection of the congregation of Israel, denoting Malchut. For this Israel below is called one, as when a man dons tefillin and is enveloped with a cover according to the mitzvah, namely the talit. Then he is adorned with the holy adornments, similar to that on high, and is thus called one. My commentary. Tefillin and talit are physical items that draw spiritual energy. They are physical items that cause one to become holy from below. Eventually, these essences will be manifested within the body of the person. This will be part of the changes mandated by the Mashiach. Verse 22. Ukine kachlete echad yishtadal b'echad Kucha barichu dihu echad Ushtadal b'echad Ketaleat malka mishtadal Ela b'may d'itchaze Leyahu kichketiv Vehu bechad umi yeshivanu La shari kucha barichu Vela ishtakach ela bechad Bechad echad mibae leya Bemandi takan Bikdusha ila'a The Mehere had Kedain, who Sharia Behad, Villa Behad, Be'atar Ahara. Because of this, let man come and strive for the One, the Holy One, blessed be He, who is One, deals with One, namely Israel. For the King deals only with what is befitting Him. For this reason it is written, but He is unchangeable, literally in One. And who can turn Him? Since the Holy One, blessed be He, abides and dwells only in One. He asks, it says He is in One. Should it not read One rather than in One? He answers, yet the explanation is, as One established in supernal sanctity to be One, meaning in Israel, then He hovers in One and not in any place else, meaning in another nation. I'm adding, as my commentary above, the other nations need to purify so that they can become one with Israel and thereby become one with Hashem. This is an important teaching. Verse 23. Ve'ematai yigre barnash echad b'sha'ata v'ishtakach v'gar v'nukba le'id kadash v'kdusha ila'a v'id kewan le'id kadsha v'tachatzi b'zina Vishtakach Barnash Kizivuga Hadikar Vinuba Vid Kaven Vid Kadcha Kadkayot Kedainu Shalim Vikre Hadbila Pagimu. When is a person called one? At the time when there is male and female, and he sanctifies himself with supernal holiness and strives to be saintly. Come and see, when a person is in one union, male and female, and aims to sanctify himself properly, then he is perfect and is considered one without defect. I am adding, it is very important in our generation that people stop separating themselves from mating. This is an effect of the desire to receive for oneself alone. Many people of both males and females want the perfect one, the perfect mates. When they are perfect, they will find the perfect mates. Until then, take what Hashem sends us, because it's right for us. It is a mitzvah to divorce, so divorce when your tikkun with that person is complete. Pasuk 24. Beginei kach ba'ei barnash Lamech de Leitea Behai Shata Lizamna La Biruta Hadaimea Beit Kabnun Tarvaihu Kechad Lehai Mila Vikad Nishtahe Tarvaihu Kechad Kedem Kola Had Benafsha Ugufa Benafsha Liad Beka Dabeda Beru Ota Ada Ukufa Kema Diolifna Devarnash Dilanasiv Who came on the each palik? The cut meat haberon, the car the nukba, the dame it away to Hagufa, ishtaka, Dehinahu had nafsha. Behad gufa vikre barnash. Echad kidain kutsha barifu. Shari behad beachid. Ruchat bikush kedusha. Behahu echad. For this reason, man needs to bring joy to his wife at that time, to prepare her with him with one desire. Both should ready themselves to that matter. And when both are together, then everything is one in body and soul. In soul they are one, to cling to each other in one wish. In body they are one, as we learned that a man who does not marry is like a half body. He is a half body and his mate is a half body. When they join male and female, they become one complete body. Thus they are one soul, one body, and man is then one. Then the Holy One, blessed be He, dwells in the one and deposits a Holy Spirit in that one, namely in that which is born from them. My commentary. What happens to children who are drawn to people who live together? There is a greater level of judgment for that child, a more difficult tikkun. Yet there is a purpose to this happening in our generation, as these souls must manifest in this way. Remember the rule. If it happens in the physical world, it is perfectly just. Perfectly just for the individual, for the parents, the family, the nation, and the universe. Pasuk 25. Bileini krun benin de kudsha barifu. Kimadi itmar ugine kach kedoshim tiyu. Ki kadoshani Hashem. Zakain inun Israel Tilaukim milada beata Afara ela bea Mamashtikim ki kadosh Ani Hashem begin the itabeka Bea vila beafara Bealda kadoshim Tihiyu Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elohim. These are called children of the Holy One, blessed be He, as we learned above. And for this reason you shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your Elohim, am holy. Fortunate are Israel for not placing this thing elsewhere, meaning they sought no reward for their holiness, but only to cling to Him, as it is written, for I, Hashem, your Elohim, am holy, meaning that his children are to cling to him only and to no one other, no other. Hence you shall be holy, for I, Hashem, your Elohim, are holy. My commentary. At Mount Sinai, Israel received an additional soul in order to manifest the higher level of consciousness that is needed to strive to become holy. This will be true for all people, all nations eventually. That's the end of section 3. I did fail to mention one subject that I want to bring up now. As we talked earlier about bringing the news items into today's discussion, we've been talking about bringing peace in the Middle East. And today there was released a video that took place on Tuesday of this week. The video is of little children with peyote and girls and boys. When I say little children, we're talking 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds. They were on a tour of the Temple Mount with their fathers, and they were harassed, verbally attacked, and physically attacked. by Muslims on the Temple Mount. This has been coming as a planned political statement by a group of people within the nation of Israel, wanting to bring attention to the fact that Israel is nominally in control of the Temple Mount, but a man who wants to pray on the Temple Mount is not able to pray. Even though the Israeli Supreme Court has ordered the defense forces to make plans and to be able to protect any Jewish man or woman who wants to pray on the Temple Mount. It has been the policy of the government not to allow this, saying that they couldn't protect the people. And now these groups have brought children, their fathers brought the children, put the children at risk for their political statement. You're going to see much more of this kind of thing as this whole issue of certainty about peace in the Middle East comes together. I'm going to change the controls back so that you can ask questions and be heard. Does anybody have any questions? If there are no questions, I'll just make our announcements. Saturday night at 8:30 p.m., we have another Zohar class. It will be for the Parasha of Emor, and it will be the first opportunity in that frame of energy to make your connection through the Zohar. 10:30 Sunday morning, we will have a class continuing our preparation and our learning about the holidays of the Omer, of Pesach Sheni, of Lag BaOmer, and the two Rosh Chodeshes, Iyar and Sivan, and the holiday of Shavuot and its connection and meaning with the done properly, if it's done properly according to the Ari, by staying up and studying in a certain way, chaos-free life from now until Rosh Hashanah. This is all part of our preparations over the next 3 to 5 weeks. Every Sunday morning at 10:30. Monday at 5:30, we'll have our class in Hebrew letters, and as we mentioned in this class, we will be talking about the 600,000 letters versus the 304,000 plus letters. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we have a class in Advanced Reincarnation. I believe it's class number 49. And we're only about a third of the way, or even less, through the book Sha'ar HaGilgulim. Next Wednesday night, instead of our basic class, at 6:30 p.m., we will have a Rosh Chodesh connection. It will be earlier than we normally do it, but we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, so the energy is still right. And next Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we will again have a Zohar class. Any questions? Shabbat Shalom. I wish you all a beautiful Shabbat. And remember to count the Omer.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.